spiritually withdrawn. Life's winds and waves and rising tides have left you forlorn.
You say your ship can't stand another storm, and the final wave seems near. Just anchor deep to the solid rock. Let the captain handle your fear. Anyway, we just got some sinus issues going on. I do come to prayers that we'll be able to fully preach how we want.
Brother John Ashworth was hoping to be with the Lord on Friday, and have not received any arrangements as of yet. And so just stay tuned for that. We will give arrangements as soon as we get them. And our main source of announcements, let me just say, is Facebook, our church page. The call and post is really expensive, but there are certain occasions where we'll use it, and this will be one of those occasions. But I do want to say, just know that our church Facebook page is going to be one of our main sources of information. And so remember, Rebecca, Ms. Dawn, and Junior, all the family that surrounds Brother John, just remember this situation. Remember Brother Leonard, I believe this week, is it that you're going to get your...
The seventh,
okay. X-ray scan of some kind just to see where things are at with you and your health. So let's remember Brother Leonard this morning in our prayers. Just the Lord's as well. He's in great health. And so we appreciate it. Appreciate them. Just remember them and their daughter. The stent removed from McKinney, is that right? Remember, there's a senior outing coming up. Miss Sharon. Yep.
Okay, so this Saturday, December 11th, seniors are going. Anybody that wants to come can come. It doesn't just have to be seniors. But we're going to be at Monterey's here at the Publix Shopping Center at 4 o'clock Saturday, December 11th. We have our dinner. Then we're going over to First Baptist Church in Powder Springs to see their Christmas program, which starts at 6 o'clock. So anybody that wants to come, meet us at Monterey's at 4 o'clock Saturday.
Thank you for that, Ms. Sharon. We can definitely do Monterey's, can't we? We can do that quite often.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I saw on Tiffany's Facebook page yesterday that her daddy's funeral is going to be at West Cobb Tuesday. The visitation is from 12 to 2. And then he'll be buried up at the Bellamy's funeral home. The Hall of Memorial Gardens. But I saw that on late last night on her Facebook page.
Thank you, Ms. Cassie.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't notified of that.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's just remember these things. Also, the third Sunday of this month, I don't have a calendar before me, but that's going to be our Christmas offering. Our annual special Christmas offering. Of course, we'll have an additional Sunday after that. If you want to give twice. Or if you forget to give once. We'll have that. So remember that. Remember the tree lot. And I'm sure...
over 800 trees. So.
Praise the Lord. That's the whole forest. For sure. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Well, do remember the tree lot. Also, I heard and seen on Facebook that there was a World Series star that showed up this past week. Dansby Swanson showed up for some treats and trees. And what a blessing that was. So, you just never know. You might show up over there. So, not going to go be part of that. There to help out the tree line. All right. Glad you're here this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad as well, believe it or not. It may not sound like it, but I am. So, let's pray. I'll talk to you back for that. Lord, we love you today. We thank you. Praise you for who you are, what you do. So, Father, we just abide under your umbrella of sufficiency. We cast all of our cares upon you. Lord, we know that you want to speak to us today. God, you have something to say. So, Lord, we're here as the lame man at the gate called Beautiful with our cups out. Lord, we're asking that you'll fill our cups. I pray that you'd start with the music this morning like you already have. But, Lord, let it flow to the pulpit and then to the pews and then ultimately, Lord, out into this world. We love you today. We thank you and we praise you. Do pray for special grace and peace upon Miss Rebecca and family as they get ready to go through with this funeral, Lord. And Lord, we know that this isn't the end, but this is only the beginning. We'll see John one day. All those who are saved and born again will see their loved ones someday soon. We love you today. Bless this service in Jesus' name.
Amen. Church, choir, if you'll stand with me, let's sing what they were playing a few moments ago. Page number 393. Page 393, and let's all sing together when we all get to heaven. All right, everyone sing together now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare us a place. If we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus,
good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Thankful for those that are able to visit with us by Facebook. And it's just good to be in his house. Amen. Amen. Look forward to hearing from the Word. Do pray for Pastor this morning. Lord, touch him physically. And may our hearts and minds be open to receive the Word of the Lord. If you were able to be with us in Bible study this morning, we're thankful for that. If you're not normally here for Bible study, let me give you a little commercial. You need to be here at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings to receive the Word of God. It's a great time. It's a great time of fellowship. You can kind of just, if pardon the pun, let your hair down. Anyway, you can kind of be a little more, don't laugh, Larry, be a little more comfortable and just kind of, it's an opportunity kind of, you can speak about things in your class that you wouldn't be able to speak about here in a Sunday school, in a worship service, but you can kind of just together be able to have a good time of fellowship around the Word of God. That's always a great time. So there's a class for every age, and we'd love to have you come be a part of Bible study at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And let me also say, if you have been praying about becoming a member of the choir, this would be a great, great opportunity. But I do want to say that I am very thankful for our choir. Now, are we busting the walls down up here? We're not. But they're faithful. They're here every week. And if you were to close your eyes when they sing, you wouldn't know that the choir loft wasn't full. Would you agree with me this morning? It always sounds like it's full, and I'm very thankful for their faithfulness and the work that they put forward. We're trying our best in the next weeks to get ready for Christmas. So come and be a part of that. We'd love to have you come be a part of the choir. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask him for the blessings. Yes. Sure. With that being said, I'm thankful for Kevin and for you allowing God to work in your life, son. Would you take us to the Lord this morning in a word of prayer?
Here today.
with signs and wonders. You've shown your power with precious blood. You've showed us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with the wind.
I love that song. I really do. It just puts me in. It allows me to enter in. Allows me to enter in. And it's all about Jesus this morning. We're in. It's always 365, 24/7 about Him. But we are in December, and it's about Jesus. I hope that you've seen the Lord through all the singing this morning. And now my prayer is that you'll see Him in the preaching, because we want to lift Him up this morning. And I second what Miss Darlene said. Before I preach, I want to say this. Our young people are under attack. And and so, again, I second what she said. Let's pray for our young people. Pray, pray, pray. We've been able at Grace Christian Academy, where Lily goes, and but we've been able to do chapel here recently a couple times and back to back, and been really connecting with the kids over there. And I want to ask you to pray for them as well, specifically. The Lord, a couple of them came up to me personally and told me that the gospel has made a difference. And I'm not saying anything about me, but the gospel has made a difference in their life the times that I've preached to them. That has lit my fire, I want to tell you. That has lit my fire. And so we've been to a couple basketball games lately, and been shouting there on the side of the bleachers. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to see young people with energy, but also to be able to shepherd them toward the right path. Exodus chapter number 16 this morning. Exodus 16. Exodus 16. I wrote on my desk yesterday while preparing. I wrote down four words. This is for me. I'm just giving it to you. Pray, study, preach, results. I want to tell you that works every time. If you are a preacher, a teacher, the individual Christian, if you have a place of prayer, you study God's word, God will use you and you will have results. I guarantee it. I'm so thankful that God has chosen to use me. I'm very tickled, very excited about that. So I pray that He'll do it again. Pray, study, preach, results. The book of Exodus, chapter number 16. We'll get into Exodus 16 in just a moment. But by way of introduction this morning, the great evangelist of yesteryear, D.L. Moody. He has an old book that's been out for a number of years. I actually had to wipe the dust off of mine. It's called Moody's Stories, Anecdotes, Incidents, and Illustrations. In that book, he gives a short story or an illustration called Sawdust or Bread. Listen to this. The story, the illustration, it says, if you go out to your garden and throw down some sawdust, the birds will not take any notice. But if you throw down some breadcrumbs, you will find they will soon swoop down and pick them up. The true child of God can tell the difference between sawdust and bread. Many are living, I'm still quoting Mr. Moody, many are living on the world's sawdust instead of being nourished by the bread that comes down from heaven. Nothing can satisfy the longings of the soul but the word of the living God. Sawdust or bread. How true that really is this morning. A lost person gets saved. Then at some point after conversion, they try to eat sawdust again, but it won't work. Their spiritual palate has acquired a new taste. The bread from heaven will only suffice. Galatians 3:3 says, "Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" Let us this morning not eat sawdust, only bread. This morning, if we were begotten unto this lively hope by the new birth, by the Holy Spirit, it's going to take the Holy Spirit to get us through this life. And so we can only feast upon the bread of heaven, not the sawdust of this world. This morning, I actually want to borrow Mr. Moody's title, and I want to preach on that subject for a few moments this morning. Sawdust or bread? Sawdust or bread? And I want to use this story here in Exodus 16 that we'll read in just a moment. This story that of the bread that God rained down from heaven, and then later Israel named it manna. I want to use this story with that subject matter in mind because it's speaking of that true bread, the bread of heaven. And so the intent of the message this morning is to just merely refresh ourselves and possibly enlighten us of Jesus and how that he is indeed satisfying, how he is indeed nourishing and capable of sustaining the believer from earth to glory. This morning, you do not have to eat sawdust. There's no nourishment in sawdust. It's not edible sawdust, but it's the bread from heaven that brings nourishment. Again, it's the bread from heaven that contents the longing soul. So this morning, I want to at least try to mention four things about this bread. About this bread in Exodus 16, this shadow of Jesus being our nourisher. Number one, let's jump right in. I want you to notice the particulars of this bread. In verse number 4, the Bible says, Exodus 16, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." I want you to keep in mind what's taking place here. We know that the Lord had used Moses to deliver Israel from Egypt. And we know that they were exiting. They were on an exodus out of Egypt and going toward the goal of going in Canaan land. But you see, after they got out of Egypt, they were hungry. In fact, the Bible says, if you notice with me, in verse number 3, "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." I'm telling you right now, when a person is hungry, they are hungry. In my case, I'm not hungry when I get hungry. I'm hungry when I get hungry. I'm a hungry man. And the children of Israel, they were hungry. They came out of Egypt, and they were ready to eat. And so they murmured to the man of God about this. The Bible uses that terminology of murmuring. And so the Lord says in verse number 4, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." So the particulars about this bread, Number one, it's mentioned in verse 4, it's bread from heaven. But notice in verse number 15, it's not only mentioned as bread from heaven, but it's mentioned as manna. In verse 15, the Bible says, "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, 'It is manna,' for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, 'This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat.'" It's called manna here. Now, what does manna mean? Well, it's defined right in this very verse. They said, "It is manna, for they wist not what it was." The word manna means, what is it? They really didn't know what it was. They just looked at it and said, "Manna, what is it?" Another word for, or another kind of definition is defined as a whatness. What is this stuff that's laying here? What is it? So it's, Moses said, "This is manna. This is the bread that God is allowing for you to eat." But there's something else about the particulars of this bread. Not only it's called bread from heaven, it's also mentioned as manna. But look in verse number 14. We see that it's described as a small round thing. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. So this manna was a small round thing. It was manna. It was bread from heaven. So these are just some of the particulars about this bread. Notice something else. Look in verse 31. Another particular about this bread. Verse 31 says, "And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." And so he says here, he describes the shape of it as he did in the previous verse that we read, verse number 14. It was a small round thing, but he says here it's like the coriander seed. He's talking about the shape, not the color. Because the coriander seed wasn't necessarily a white seed as it was a darker colored seed. So he's talking about the shape of it. It was like coriander seed, comma, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Folks, here we have vanilla wafers. How about it? Anybody grew up on vanilla wafers and milk? I remember when I was a kid, I know y'all won't believe this, but when I was a kid, I had a favorite little cup. And I would pour vanilla wafers in there and add milk and just let it sit for a while. And so that was my manna. So it's like vanilla wafers, if you would. If you need some kind of imagery in your mind, it's a small round thing. It's sweet, like a coriander seed in shape, and it was sweet. This is the manna, the bread that God provided for his people. Now, this manna was good. This manna was sweet. Listen to what Psalm 34:8 says. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." That heavenly manna is all good. The bread of life, Jesus, he is good this morning. He is good to all of those who put their faith and trust in him. Anchor into Jesus this morning because he's good. He's like this manna here in the book of Exodus. Made with honey, sweet to the taste. So this morning, let me say, bread tastes way better than sawdust. Sawdust is not edible. It has no nutritional value whatsoever. But there is nutritional value in bread, and so much the more in the heavenly bread. He can this morning enrich you if you're poor spiritually. He can this morning satisfy that longing in the heart, that longing in the soul. Keep on trying to eat sawdust, it'll never happen. You're to eat that heavenly bread because it's sweet, it's sustaining, and it will fulfill you. Now, back in the Bible days, and even days now, that sweets were good to eat. They taste good, but there's no nutritional value. Back in Bible days and even now, meat had a part in many people's diets then and now. But if you think about it, it's not necessarily mandatory. But bread, especially in Bible days, bread was the thing to go after. It held a nutritional value. This morning we can live without sweets. We can even live without meats. But we cannot live without the bread of Jesus Christ. He holds, again, the nutritional value that we need. So back in Bible days, you will find out and discover that they were always breaking bread, going from house to house. It was even used in that terminology in the book of Acts in chapter number 2 and so forth. We find that they went from house to house breaking bread. We know that at the Last Supper there was bread that was broke. That's because not only a picture of the Lord's body, but it was a common, enriching food that they ate. Bread is spoken of so many times in the Word of God. But this morning we see, when it comes to sawdust or bread, we see the particulars of this bread. It was bread from heaven. It was manna, a small round thing, and it was sweet. Now, let me mention something else. Not only do we see the particulars of this bread in Exodus 16, but I want you to notice the picking of this bread. Now, back in verse number 4, we see that it was a daily picking. Verse 4, the Bible says, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day." It was a daily picking, this bread was. So God would rain it down. Of course, the scriptures go on and say that at night there would be quail, in the morning would be the bread. And so every day, if they wanted to eat, every day if they needed sustenance to contain them in order to make it tonight, they had to go and pick their bread. They had to go and get their bread. I believe it goes without saying this morning that the Bible talks much about in the New Testament about Jesus being our daily bread. And in fact, in Matthew, I believe it's chapter number 6 or thereabouts, he mentions, "Give us this day our daily bread." Let us be people this morning who don't just rush out the door in the mornings and go to our appointments or work and school without reaching down, so to speak, and picking up our manna. Those sweet things that sustain us. The nutritional, spiritual value that we need each and every day. Help us, Lord, not to just fly out the door and never pick that bread up. Help us, Lord, this morning to not just walk by that bread and say, "I'll pick you up when I get home." Because according to these scriptures, that bread is not going to be there at nighttime. Because when the sun would come out, and we'll read in that in just a moment, that sun would melt this bread. And so we see that the picking of this bread, in verse number 4, it was a daily picking. Now look in verse number 16 through 18. There was a daily picking amount. in verse number 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. An omer for every man. An omer, for my estimation, is like a small cup or bowl. Some other commentators say 6 pints. Some say 1/2 gallon. You draw your own conclusion. An omer for every man, according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, or measure it out with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And so we see here that the picking of this bread that's mentioned, there's a picking amount. In other words, they were to go out and they were to give, they were to gather every man according to his eating. Some would gather more, some would gather less, based upon their appetite. But there was a cap here. It was an omer. And an omer, we'll just say, 1/2 gallon, it was the cap. It was the average. The Bible actually says in verse 16, middle ways through, an omer for every man. So they all brought, the Bible says in verse 17, some more, some less, according to the number of their household. And when they went into their homes, they measured it out. And it was all, there was no more left over. There was none less where people were lacking. It all measured out perfectly for everyone. Everyone was content. Everyone was satisfied. And I want to say this morning that when we go to pick up our manna each and every day, we're picking up our bread, our spiritual bread. It's to be done every day. But also, no matter how much we go after or how little we go after, Jesus can fulfill us. He can complete us. He can sustain us. Some gathered more, some gathered less. But at the end of the day, after it was all measured, everyone had plenty. So we're talking about the picking of this bread. We see the daily picking amount. We see the daily picking. But then we see in verse number 19 and 20, a daily picking must be gone in a day. Listen to this. Look at verse 19. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. And it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And so we see that a daily picking must be gone in a day. They were to get enough for that day, and then it was to be gone in that day because it would stink and breed worms on the next day. And so what's that saying to us? I believe we can look at that as Moses was commanded to tell the children of Israel, get you enough for a day, finish it in that day, it'll all be worm food the next day. We can glean from that our bread, our victories of today is no good for tomorrow's challenges. Let us today spend time with Jesus. Let us today go picking up our spiritual manna each and every day. Let us be able to feast on that manna in that day, all the day long. But also know this, that tomorrow and the challenges of tomorrow will not come by today's picking. Does that make sense? Tomorrow we'll have to go all out again and pick up our bread all over again. As the Bible says here, that in verse number 22 or verse number 20, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning. and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. So when it comes to the picking of this bread, there was a daily picking that must be gone in a day. Notice something else about this picking. In verse 21, we have an early picking. He says in verse 21, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Let us this morning seek God early before the adversity of this world hits us. Let us seek God early every morning before we meet the challenges and the heat of adversity that comes in this life. He says you must go after it early, because there's coming a sun and it's going to heat this manna. Let us go after our heavenly manna early in the morning. Something else about the picking of this bread. Notice in verse number 22, we see a double picking was actually required. Verse 22, and it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seeth that ye will seeth. That which remaineth over, lay up for you to keep unto the morning. They laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. So get this imagery. Every day there was to be 1 omer, Monday through Saturday, or Monday through Friday. 1 handful. And then on Saturday, there was to be 2 omers, 2 handfuls, because Sunday was the Sabbath. It was a day of rest. Nobody could go out and gather their omer on that day. And so, in other words, they were to store up on Saturday so they would have plenty on Sunday. What are you saying, Brother Justin? I'm saying this. Sunday is our Sabbath. And we ought to be like the instructions God gave Moses to give Israel. We ought to prepare on Saturday. We ought to get in tune and get in touch with God on Saturday, every day. But on Saturday, we ought to double up. On Saturday, we ought to reach for that manna, and we ought to reach again. We ought to have a desire to come into God's house on Sunday, filled with this heavenly manna, ready to be a blessing to everyone in the house of God. You know, some people think, well, what does Calvary have to offer me? What does Calvary have to offer me? And then I'll decide if I want to go to church there. This morning, it's not what Calvary has to offer you or anyone, but it's what you have to offer Calvary. Any church that anybody goes to, one of the biggest ideas, the biggest thought is, well, what do you have for the young people? And listen, that's true. We have, if you have a young person, you need something for a young person. What do you have as far as events? And what do you have as far as adult, you know, classes and outings and things like that? And based upon what you tell me, I will decide if we're coming or not. Friend, it's the other way around. if you really want to know the heart of worship, if you really want to know the heart of service, it's not about what the church can do for us, but it's about what we can do for the church. You see, they were to double up on Saturday. I want to ask you a question. Anybody in here double up on Saturday? Wanting to come into God's house filled and be a blessing? Or, and listen, this is where a lot of us are, and I'll just say it's me sometimes. It done everything you could to make it through the week and Saturday. Just to get here on Sunday. Crawl up to the altar and ask God to fill you with his bread. It goes both ways. But the primary way, the biblical way, is for all of us to be gathering manna Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And when it gets towards Saturday, you can ask at our house. I don't care how bad I feel. I'm excited about Sunday. I'm excited about the possibility of preaching God's word. And we have young people, middle-aged, older people. And as God's word goes out, there is no telling who could receive from the word of God what they need in their life. That's so exciting for me. The girls are excited to sing. We're ironing and laying out clothes. I'm sure you're that way too. And, you know, we're just happy. Doesn't matter how many's here, although we'd love for it to be packed out. But whether it's one, whether it's a hundred, whether it's a thousand, God has spoke to this old boy. And I'm going to give it my very best. No matter if it's one, no matter if it's a hundred, no matter if it's a thousand. And I'll tell you why. Because God has a way of raining down his manna. And if it's just for one soul to get saved, if it's just for one person to receive instruction along their last journey, it's all worth it this morning. Amen. He has a way of raining down the manna. And I want to tell you something that's making me so excited. Not only things here. And listen, we have our naysayers. One of them was online not long ago. Said they're surprised how Calvary's fallen. Calvary ain't fallen. And you know who you are who put that out there. How dare anybody say that to me in my face? I'm going to stay spiritual, so I better back up a little bit. It's amazing what not only God is doing here. By the way, it's easier for people who don't come to Calvary, don't come to church, to taunt, to ridicule the work of God. And I will say it again, shame on you who said that about our church. Shame on you. And I will shame you if I see you in public. Thank God for a holy boldness this morning. I don't care what man thinks about me. I'm going to strive lawfully. I'm going to pray and do what God wants me to do. I'm going to abide in his calling. But God has a way of working. Let me say what I was going to say a minute ago. I done got hooked up to the train. At Grace Christian School, we started going to these basketball games. Lily is cheerleading. I'm going to brag about it. Don't be bashful back there. Shish, boom, bah. Go, team, go. Eagle territory. You know, give me an E. E, you got your E. Hey, that's exciting. Come on, Lily, right here, right now. Let's see it. Go ahead. Give me an E. Give me an A, a G, L, E. Better watch out, you're in Eagle territory. I was down that front row Thursday night. Boy, them boys were jumping out at me with saving them basketballs. I thought I was going to get T-boned. So exciting. But I had one of the boys, a ninth grader. God knows my heart. I'm not bragging on me. Brother Allen. He said, "Sir, are you preaching chapel next Wednesday?" I said, "I don't know, buddy." I said, "I just preached it this past week. Were you there?" "Oh, yes, sir, I was there." "Sir, I want to let you know that I've had questions in my heart about God. God's been using you to solve my questions and answer about God." Amen. That may not mean anything to you. But for me, who the devil tells me half the time that I'm not making no difference, that God's not using me. To have a young person come up and say that God is changing my life. Buddy, that's everything. That's everything. It didn't stop there. The next night, Friday night, another young guy came up. He said, well, I actually went up to him. I said, hey, are you Tracy? He said, yes, sir. About, man, he's tall. The young guys were tall, man, playing basketball. He said, I said, good game last night. He said, thank you, sir. And I was getting ready to walk off. He said, oh, by the way, I want to let you know that your preaching on Wednesday has been changing my life. And I hit my heart on Friday like that in front of that guy. On Thursday, I hit my heart like that in front of that young guy. I said, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm so glad God is working in your life. And listen, hey, I welcome the Lord to light any bush in my life. He has lit a bush for Calvary Baptist Church. But God is starting to light a bush in my life over at Grace Christian Academy. I don't know what he's doing over there. I know he wants, Miss Darlene, he wants young people saved. These young people have the mark of the devil on their back. They need somebody to step up and reach out and say, hey, I'll be your friend. I'll be your guide. That's exactly what our young people need. And I don't know exactly what God's doing over there. But I know one thing. It's sweet. It's sweet. It's so fulfilling. It's so satisfying. And I just, again, nothing about me, but it's all about him. God this morning, he has a way of filling us and allowing us to receive nutrition from our time with him. And saying that, did you come full this morning? Sometimes we come empty, but did you come full? Let us take our daily bread every day of the week, but on Saturdays, let us double up because Sunday's coming. I put on Facebook this morning, on our page, church page, I just simply put, God has something to say, and it's a little text message, and the number 12 circled up top, meaning there's 12 messages he wants to tell you. God has something to say, church, you know that. And just help us, Lord. Lord, help us not be caught up in what we don't have. But let us be caught up in what we have. And what we have is Jesus. The picking of this bread. There was a double picking, an early picking, a daily picking that must be gone in a day, a daily picking amount. And then it was just a daily picking every single day. And so we see the picking of the bread, the particulars of the bread. But then notice this in verse number 35. The prolonging of the bread. Israel was fed faithfully by God for 40 years. Every single day. Until they reached Canaan. Look in verse 35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. God will provide for his children from earth to heaven. You know that. From earth to heaven, he will provide joy and peace. Contentment, all the needs that we have, he will provide purpose and stamina if we will just go to him as our daily bread. From earth to heaven, the same way he provided for Israel every single day, this manna he will provide for you and I. Last thing this morning, not only do we see the picking of this bread, the particulars of this bread, the prolonging of this bread, but then the picture of this bread, you already know what it is. Turn over, if you would, for a moment to John chapter number 6. The picture of this bread. Here we have another miracle. The Old Testament miracle was that God fed the people for 40 years by bread. The whole chapter 6 of John surrounds and deals with bread. We know we have the miracle of the fish and the loaves. 5,000 plus were fed. And then we know that he started to accumulate a crowd that followed him because their bellies were full. They weren't following him because he was the Son of God. They were following him because they received something from him. And so we see that they go through that, and many, many turned and walked no more with the Lord because he said, I am the bread of life. And it was offensive to many that he was pointing to himself and saying, I am the Messiah. I am the bread of life. The miracle of the loaves, that was just pointing you to me. And so many walked away and followed him no more, John 6:66. But look in verse number 35 of John 6. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Look at verse 48. I am, just in case you didn't get the first time, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, what we were just talking about, and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And we know that he goes into all of the ins and outs of salvation here. Verse number 58 says this. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And of course, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. This morning, he is the picture of physical bread. From the Old Testament to the New Testament to now. Bread is a kind of nourishment. Sweets we can do without. Most of the time, meat you can do without. But from Bible days to now, there's something about bread that nourishes. So my question rounds back to the same. Sawdust or bread? Sawdust or bread? Let me just tell you what D.L. Moody said one more time as we get ready for an invitation in his book. If you go out to your garden and throw down some sawdust, the birds will not take any notice. But if you throw down some breadcrumbs, you'll find they will soon swoop down and pick them up. The true child of God can tell the difference between sawdust and bread. Many are living on the world's sawdust instead of being nourished by the bread that comes down from heaven. Nothing can satisfy the longings of the soul but the word of the living God. Will you eat that bread today? Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for what you do. Give liberty during this time of invitation, and we will thank you and we will praise you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.